Wow, well, welcome, Sean Collinson. Hi, Sean.
Thank you, Raquel. Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness, thank you for joining us for today's edition of Raquel's Thoughts with Yours. Everybody out there, I'm so excited about today's guest. Like, really, I am. I'm just trying to keep my cool. But I'm so honored that he took time out of his busy schedule just to join us today for Raquel's Thoughts, What's Yours? So, if you're ready, let's do this. So,
Let's do
everybody,
it.
this is Sean Collinson. You're wondering, who is Sean Collinson? Who is Sean Collinson? Sean Collinson, I mean, there's so many accolades to him, but it's Sean Collinson, author. Sean authored a few books. I mean, the two that I know of, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, but Sean authored a book called How to Win Family Court, A Practical Guide. And Sean, I have a copy of that book, and it is absolutely genius. And it does speak to one of your gifts, your talents, which when we go down the line, we'll chat more about. But definitely, Sean is author. And then he does have another book, Seven Keys to Love, and that can be found on Amazon. And I know you'll tell us some more about that book today, but I'm excited to get my hands on that one. He did grace me with a signed copy of How to Win In and Out of Family Court, and I can't wait to get my hands on Seven Keys to Love on Amazon. So that's Sean Collinson, the author. Then we have Sean Collinson, the mediator. I fondly like to call Sean the celebrity mediator, but that's not true. He's a mediator to everyone and anyone who can use his services. Sean is based in the San Fernando Valley, but as they say, have a case, will travel. He is international, that's what I would say. So Sean Collinson, the mediator. Then Sean Collinson, the speaker. The speaker. He can be had for any speaking engagement, but Sean Collinson, the speaker, I've seen him in action. Then Sean Collinson, pop protocol, and I can't wait for us to chat some more about that. I'm really excited about that. I'll kind of leave that as a secret. You know, you'll explain to everyone your position there and how important that is to you. I know it's near and dear to your heart. I like to see Sean Collinson, husband and dad. And I love that about you too, because as much as you hold all these accolades, you are a loving husband and a doting father. And if you doubt me, you'll look at his Instagram, look at his social media. I mean, him, and you can see him and his son just having fun. So Sean Collinson, husband and dad. And this last one I want to save for another show. Y'all, this is for definitely another show. Sean Collinson, the man himself who ran in a presidential race. That one we'll chat about another time. I mean, because there's some history, there's some passion behind why he did what he did. But thank you so much, Sean, for joining us on today's edition
Thank
of
you.
Thoughts Yours. What's yours? I think I'm getting a little tongue-tied because I'm really excited. So, Sean, there's like so much to you, and it's like, where do we start? Where do we absolutely start? I kind of want to start with Sean Collinson, the author. The author. I actually want to hone in on every single one of those talents today, all of those gifts, those attributes, everything that God has blessed you with. I want us to touch on all of it today. All of it today. But how about we start with author.
Sure. Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, that book that you wrote, well, Sean Collinson, How to Win In and Out of Family Court. I know that goes hand in hand with you being a mediator. A mediator. How is mediation for you? How did you even, you know, get involved in that?
Yeah, no, mediation, the way I got involved in mediation was going through my own divorce. So probably somewhere around 97, 98, I went through an actual dissolution of marriage.
Oh, wow.
And I was married 2 years, and about 4 years into the case, the court sent us out to a voluntary settlement conference with a mediator. And the mediator was the cornerstone to settling the case. And I knew then that that was probably, you know, what I was cut out to do is be a mediator.
Oh, wow. Wow, so you're not just doing this thing just for the love of it or what, you actually went through what you did go through. And so with that, you said, you know what, I want to do that. In fact, to tell you the truth, people, if a lot of us had read, sorry, yes, read his first book, How to Win in and Out of Family Court, we probably would have fared better or differently. And let me just say, full disclosure, I did use the services of Sean Collinson as mediator, and this man is really at the top of his game. He is, you know, the best of the best in the industry. He really, really can, you know, talk some sense into situations, because as you know, a lot of times you're very emotional, and I really enjoyed having him as my mediator. So that's how you got involved. I did not even realize that, I must say. Wow.
Right. Right. No, I had my own experience. I mean, I definitely tried to maneuver the courts on my own to no prevail, to just becoming really frustrated with the entire judicial system and the just quirkiness, the overburdenness of the court system, and also with a judge that created certain biases that I just could not overcome. And the mediator, I remember the first day I spoke to the mediator, I walked out in the hallway to this mediator, and the first thing he said is, "What are your interests and concerns?" And when he said that to me, I found it odd because I was like, "Well, wait a minute, no one's asked me what I care about." And when he asked me that, it was like, whoa, that took me back. Like, why does he care what I think? Everyone else here is just about rescheduling and asking for more money, and
That's right.
nothing's getting done. Nothing's getting done. So I was just thinking to myself, like, I think I should pay attention. And then, long story short, 17 years later, I'm the mediator. There you go.
Wow. I mean, if you're wondering where you can get your hands on this book, it's actually on Amazon. It really is. It says here on Amazon, it's How to Win in and Out Family Court. I'm seeing that it's available on hardcover right here. I won't tell you, for my amazing listeners, I won't tell you the price. Just go right there and get yourself a copy if you know you need that, or even gift it to someone if you know they need that. But Sean, you also have another book. You
Yes.
also have another book, and I'm really excited about that because it's interesting. It seems to go hand in hand with this, but it's more of and I'm wondering if it's personal as well, because it's almost saying when you're done with going through all that you've gone through in and out of family court and you're looking for love again, let's look at some seven practical steps. So that next book is called Seven Keys to Love. And I was actually reading the reviews on Amazon, and everybody loves this book. I hope you have my copy for me, by the
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. I think just at I that was the third book. And the
Oh,
second
wow.
book was I Want Out, was the second
Oh.
book.
How
And I
interesting.
yeah, and I and my one of my golf buddies made the best joke. He said, "You can get Sean's first book, How to Win, and if you lose, then you get a second book, because then you want out." And he said, "If you can't get out, then he'll no, he said, "If you can't get out, then you can check Seven Keys to Love."
Literally, that's actually what it sounds like. It's systematic.
Yeah, he said if you get my book on love and it doesn't work, you can get my book I Want Out half off.
Oh, that is hilarious. I did not know there was a third book. That is, thank you for telling me that. But the Seven Keys to Love, seriously, the reviews are phenomenal. People are seeing how much it's actually helped them. In fact, I would not mind reading one or two of them. It says, "This is a great book in opening ways to improve my relationship with my wife." This is what one gentleman, by the way, by the name of Edward said. He said, as I read it, my eyes, opened up to things I could have done or do or make better or happier in my marriage. Then he said, thank you. Another one, Jade said, A plus advice. She said, I used Sean's services here in Los Angeles. I highly recommend reading his books. His advisement in my own situation has given me a lot of insight as to how to handle post-divorce issues, moving forward, and most importantly, communication. And I can go on and on and on. Somebody else said that this is an easy read and a treasure. And that I found awesome, because you know how sometimes when you can get a hold of some of these books and they're like 5 million pages long and you're wondering how long it will take. I actually saw someone saying that they read your book in a couple of days and it was extremely helpful. So wow, well done. So I'm intrigued. What was the inspiration for this one? Seven keys to love
just was one of those things where after the second book I just was done writing on family court. I felt like I had met the standard for what I needed to do with that. And then I just felt like, you know, the universe called me in to do something closer to, because the one thing I realized with divorce and people is that there was or may have been an element of love. So the overarching component to the marriage was love. How could it be anything else? If you married someone, there had to be an overarching component of love invested in the relationship if you went to marry, right? Mm. So I realized that the overarching couldn't be hate. It would have to be love.
Yeah.
And so I knew that people were looking for a way to have more than just me to continue to write books on you know, the problems with going through a divorce.
Right.
On writing something on forgiveness and strategies on how loving yourself is the common denominator when you're dealing with anything in life. And then talking about gratitude and how to take things into a different perspective. And if you can change, and if you can change your focus, oftentimes on how things are proceeding, you can always make a difference. You can change your focus.
Oh, wow, Sean. So I'm seeing four words or comments. I see one by Deepak Chopra. He says, the universe operates through dynamic exchange. Giving and receiving are different aspects of the flow of energy in the universe. And in our willingness to give that which we seek, I love that part. And in our willingness to give that which we seek, we keep the abundance of the universe circulating in our lives. I even love what Blair Underwood said about your book. He said, insightful, bold, relevant. Seven Keys to Love is common sense talk from one of the masters on relationships and conflict resolution. And that's by Blair Underwood. So, wow. So, as I said, I'm kind of hoping you would be okay, Rax. I'll be sending that signed that signed copy too, right? But well done on getting these forwards from these gentlemen. Sean.
Hi, Raquel. I'm back.
You are. We are. Back on Raquel's Thoughts, What's Yours. Where we just left off was we were talking about possibly making that book. By the way, everybody who's listening, my amazing audience out there, and you're wondering, how do I get a copy of Sean's Seven Keys to Love? It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon, and it's a really, really great price. And I think you do have, not think, you do have the hard copy, but you also have the Kindle version. So head on over to Amazon, Seven Keys to Love by Sean Collinson. Sean Collinson. So Sean, as I was kind of saying, I hope you do have my copy already. Are you going to do a hard copy, a soft copy?
Everyone Which likes the digital, well, the digital copy, hard copy, whatever you like.
Right, right. You know what? I do have a Kindle, and so I think I'd make use of that. So thank you so much for that. And I think what I'll do is I might just gift one of my listeners with that. I just might do that, Sean. Thank you so much. So if you're listening out there and you do want to comment on our show, feel free to leave us a digital voice message. You'd find it right there wherever you are listening to this podcast. Send us a digital message and tell us what you enjoyed most about this interview with Sean Collinson, and say, yes, I'd love to have a copy of that free book, and I would enter your name into a drawing, and let's see who walks away with that free copy of Sean Collinson's brand new book. So yay, thank you, Sean, for gifting me and our audience with that. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So Sean, I know we can go on and talk some more about that book, and we can go even deeper, because I was reading some forewords from some amazing men like Deepak Chopra and Blair Underwood, but there's more to you that I would really love my listeners to know. And I think that this part of you kind of it's very relevant to what's happening right now. Because you are the father of a handsome young son. You yourself, sometimes, by the way, when you do see Sean's picture, you'd wonder, is he black? He white? What really going on with him? You're the father of a handsome black young man. And in today's environment and what's happening, I'd really love to get your thoughts and your views on what's happening, first of all, as a father, as a young black man yourself, as the father who's raising a young black man. And then we'd find a way to bring in Pop Protocol, because I was fascinated when I realized what Pop Protocol even means.
Right. So, you know, my take in 2020, in the 20th century, my take is very, very, I think, reasonable and sensible. And I find that we're all human beings, and we have an accountability to be being human. I'm not one for putting people in groups or categories, right? Okay. I don't want to be shallow-minded and call any individual or categorize them by the color of their skin, because many people try to get tans to be darker. You know, you have Native American, Indian American, you have African, African, you have so many different ethnicities, but at the end of the day, we all bleed red, we all breathe the same air. So this... Okay. These things that are happening in the media about any privilege is something that is false, made up, and stupid to me. I believe that you can create your destiny. You are in charge of it. Now, have some things been occurring statistically unfair amongst a certain group of folks? The answer to that question is yes, there are statistics surrounding things that have been happening. And I think that it draws the conclusion to focus and pay more attention to it. But does it mean that there's a privilege to being a complete maniac? Is there entitlement and all of these things? I'm not going to give any energy to that. And I welcome questions and comments surrounding that. And I think that we are, you know, in control of our destinies. Now, are we living in some archaic and barbaric ways that have not seemed to have come along since the 60s and the 50s? Absolutely. And if we're discussing racism and race and white this and black that, this is going backwards. I believe we have to get our acts together and come together and put progress over pride.
Mm.
And it just brings me to a story right now that, you know, we deal with this thing called POP protocol. But POP in the narrative of where we are today, with a commander in the sheriff's department that I work with currently, we have something called POP, and it stands for progress over pride. You have to put your progress over your pride. Right now. Yeah, progress over pride. While I'm speaking with you, I'll send you a quick text message. Maybe you can see this, but we are in a state of progress.
Okay.
And as long as we continue to maintain being progressive and putting progress over pride, I just sent you, can look at your phone. You can start to reimagine that we are all, none of us are different. We are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God has destined us to be one love and not two loves, or, you know, all of these things. So to think that we have some level of entitlement or power over another individual, the only person that has power over a person is God. And that's what I'm sticking, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Sean, thank you so much. Thank you for sticking with me through my little, we call it commercial break. And it was simply to remind everyone, if you want to do a podcast just like this, you know exactly how to do it. So Sean, where it was is that I was explaining to my audience, trying to give them a visual of POP, and it seems the new meaning. We go back to the old, but the new meaning, as you said, progress over pride. I was explaining to them that what you had sent to me was absolutely fascinating. I absolutely love it. It was pictures of both Caucasian as well as Black dads with their, one was, you know, with a young boy, another was with a young girl, and they were all wearing the POP, progress over pride, t-shirts. Another picture was young graduates of all ethnicities, you know, embracing each other with the POP, that is progress over pride, t-shirt in their hats and gowns. So very, very interesting with POP. Is that a new meaning that was birthed from the essence of what's happening? Because as I said, the initial meaning of POP was not this, but as you said, it's still linked to law enforcement, etc. But it seems to have taken on a developed meaning, progress over pride. Very interesting.
Right, because what the progress over pride under the current and most relevant situation has to do with the peace officers protocol. And so what we decided to do under the POP protocol, under a subsidiary of that, is extend to the relevancy of today. And so what we're creating and establishing currently throughout the country is where there becomes a level of accountability and transparency between the civilians and law enforcement, so that civilians know what to expect from law enforcement, and law enforcement will know what to expect from civilians, and that when they have an interaction, that the contact can end peacefully, so that things aren't taken out of context and not painted with such a broad brush as it is happening today. Hello?
It is. So, Sean, what I'd love for people to understand is the original meaning of POP. It says the pull over protocol, saving lives one stop at a time. The police pull over protocol. And you're saying that that has now extended. Yeah?
Right. Yes, because the pullover protocol came into conception in 2015. And we were at a different place. It was coming down to, and a lot of people may remember this, but it was coming down to being pulled over by the police, and things were just going wrong. And at that time, we set out to put a civilian protocol in place called POP, Pullover Protocol. Now, in this climate, we're at a whole different place. Things are still going fatally wrong when people are showing their hands, when people are exchanging respect, when people are following instructions. Things are still ending on a bad note. So mm-hmm. we have now gone a little bit more forensic into the accountability and the transparency of police officers and civilians. So what is in the mindset of the civilian at the contact with the police? But we also think it's on the accountability and transparency component to identify what's going through the peace officer's mind when they make contact. And this contact is about both parties going home safe. And at the end of the day, that should be the goal, right? And then we don't have these outcomes explaining in a court. Right. It just becomes what happens, you know, at some point. So we're trying to get to a better place.
Wow. I love that. I really, really admire that development, because POP initially stood for pull over. But as you just said, what we've seen within recent times, and I kind of need you to remind some of us about that initial pullover protocol, right? I really love it because a lot of times, I mean, we see differently, but I love what you're saying, that even when people are complying and they are doing the right thing, stuff is still happening. So you all have developed that even further. I really, really find that fascinating. But before you go into reminding us, for real, because I mean, I get where people are at, well, we're doing it and we're still dying. I still want you to remind us of, you know, just what would, you know, proper protocol be if the police were to stop you. I think that's worth diving into. I really do. And then tell people where they can find all of this information on POP protocol.
Right. So the progressoverpride.org is in the construction phase now. As we right now, we're under development with different law enforcement agencies to develop this accountability protocol and transparency. So what we're trying to ultimately relate or lock into is what does law enforcement expect from the civilians? And ultimately, what do civilians expect from law enforcement? And we have to continue under the protocol for POP to bridge the gap so that we're all on one accord. So there's no misconception about what is happening when you make contact with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And what that'll do is that'll cancel the fear component that we're experiencing currently dealing with the police. So we have to just get back to some of the basics that count right now. And it's important that we're able to do that. And if we're able to do that, then it just, again, it comes down to, at the end of the day, everyone goes home safe and we're not, you know, having any more memorial services.
Yes, yes.
Because of, you know, someone being shot and they may have been in a mental capacity, or, you know, a wrongful death. I don't think anyone wants to deal with that. And we have to create progress in order to deal with it. And we have to help with legislation in dealing with certain ways that police, peace officers are dealing with our civilians, and what rises to levels under different levels of probable cause, to do certain things and kind of bring it back to community policing, that the people who are sworn to protect and serve, not shoot to kill.
Okay.
And we believe we can bridge that gap.
Wow. Because a lot of people listening might be thinking, it sounds all well and good, and it's like, what do I do? How do I get this into my local police station? But I think you said it clearly. We really need to be at the forefront of policy. And I love that you're moving this from policy, and you're saying we're going to go in there and help provide, I mean, hands-on, real face-to-face conversations and training with these officers. Because again, we seem to think that a lot of these things are lost in translation. It might be a policy, but we might not be able, or we're thinking we're not seeing it implemented. And that's what I love about POP protocol, whether it's the initial meaning or this, you're saying we're going in and we're having that real interaction in terms of training to get this thing on the ground, to see it in a real human way. I love that.
Yes, we're going to officiate change from legislation.
Wow.
And moving in a way that where the talk is not only available to 15 minutes of fame, where we enact legislation for peace officers and law enforcement to really not only keep our community safe, but also keep the law enforcement officers that swore to protect and serve and that have families and want to go home safe. At the end of the day, this is a humanitarian effort to make sure that we keep everyone safe on both sides of the badge. That begins with communication, accountability, and transparency.
Wow. Communication, accountability, and transparency. And by the way, if you do go to that site, it's POP. He did talk about another site that's still under production, but the site called POP Protocol, spelled PROTOCOL.org. That is a fabulous site, Sean. In fact, just the opening photograph will melt your heart. It's a photograph of officers. I'm not sure if they're kneeling or they're just sitting, but what's interesting about it is in between these officers is a young civilian, a young man. He's there with them, their heads are bowed. And it's as if they've come to some kind of a mutual understanding and mutual respect. And so that's what pullover protocol seems to have initially kind of did. It really allowed everybody to understand each other, respect each other, and to really know what to do. And that's what I kind of want you to do, because I know your time is short and you got to go. But remind us of what should one do when we see those sirens, but not only panicking, for some ladies is probably to slap some more red lipstick on or something, but what's kind of like the protocol for real if you do see those flashing lights to the back of you? What should one do? I mean, in my head, I can't think of what to do, but what should I really do?
Right. Immediately create a level. You have to remember, neither of you know each other when this officer comes up to your vehicle. So one thing that you can always do is keep your hands in plain sight, right? Make sure that there's a clear vantage point for the officer, that he sees your hands. The other thing you can do is, if it is at night, roll down your windows, make yourself create a level of partition or unblock the partition and create transparency that the officer sees you're cooperating. Don't escalate the situation. Keep the situation, at a de-escalating mode at all times. If you were in the wrong and something, just was not right, it's okay to say, hey, I made a mistake.
Okay.
Everyone's human.
Okay.
And I think that also attributes to a level of de-escalation. Once the officer has a job to do. That's why they're out there. So if they do their job and they see what's, occurring in this unfolding, in this process of doing their job, more than likely, you're either going to get off with, you know, just, you know, whatever the situation is, but you can de-escalate it to just being a warning. And maybe that officer is having a good day and says, hey, you know, you're out of here. But you don't escalate it to your death, which doesn't seem to make any sense.
Right. Right. But I
don't escalate it to your demise.
Okay. Okay. But I love what you're saying, because we've seen instances where, because I mean, the truth is most of us do go home alive. Most times we all do go home alive. Otherwise, you know, it would be probably World War IV, whatever. But my point is, I love that you all have taken it to the next level, where even when you do comply and things go wrong, you're now taking it to a different level. It's progress over pride. And I just want to say, well done and hats off. And I know you have some awesome backers backing you with this. We have Master P. You do have the LA Sheriff Department in with you. If people are listening and they want to support, I would encourage you to go to poppprotocol.org. You can make a donation. Besides that, if you know, how does one, I guess you kind of just, how do you tell your police department? I think it's almost like is it like signing a petition, Sean, if I want my local station to get involved in this, because it sounds really good. What do I need to do as a citizen? How do I say to my, you know, local police station, y'all need to get in contact with Sean Collinson and POP Protocol? How does one do that? You just, I guess.
I think that there are a lot of people that are do-gooders in the world, and they're looking for ways to be part of the problem, and there's people who are looking to be part of the solution.
Okay.
If you're someone who's looking to be part of the solution and not the problem, then we have enacted a protocol that saves lives, and it does it on both sides of the badge, and it starts with respect. I don't think anyone can argue with any logic that if someone gives you respect, you would not respect them back. It's unfortunate that the outcomes have been the way they have been, but I think that all we can ask for is to progress, is to make progress. And if we put our progress over our pride and stop looking at, oh, I'm entitled, man, and I'm superior to this, and stop making these adjectives that are not helpful to anyone, I believe that our progress over our pride will surpass, and it puts us in a better place for our kids, for our grandkids, and for our loved ones. I mean, we're tired of seeing the funerals on CNN and the lengthy days of things not making sense. It's time for us to come together and make progress. Mm-hmm. And the new the millennials are sending a very, I think, heat-seeking signal to the country that it is not going to tolerate this level of just taking us backwards. So progress over pride is the way to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it makes sense. It's a reasonable level of accountability that I think people can get behind and say that, you know what, my pride, you know, I shouldn't be using my pride. I mean, there was it was handed down from the Supreme Court today about the Louisiana on there trying to abolish the abortion in that state. And the justice, you know, Roberts, who's the most conservative on the court, sided with the liberals, and which, you know, in his pride, he would never do that. But to do the right thing, it's always the right thing to do when it's the toughest thing that you have to do.
Wow. Wow. That's cool.
That's how you know it's the right thing.
Yeah, but
that's how you know it's the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right thing, but I'm really just trying to digest all the good information that you've been sharing with me. So that's why I was a little speechless right there. So, wow, thank you so much for sharing. Also, to all our listeners, if you want to have POP Protocol, whether it's the Pullover Protocol or the Progress Over Pride Protocol, just contact your local, it doesn't matter, whatever circle you're in, just ask everybody, have you heard of Sean Collinson and the POP Protocol program? Have you heard of it? And if you do that, this thing is going to spread like wildfire, because it's I feel like it's an undiscovered gem. It's an undiscovered secret. I know you've been on several television programs, etc., promoting it, but I feel like it's an undiscovered gem, because it's there's real hands and legs and feet and voice to doing something. It's really practical, and I really say hats off to you and your team for putting this together and seeing it yourself, and not just you but your handsome son, you know, just has a bright future, and not just him, you know, all the other young people. So Sean, you were just an amazing guest today. There's just so many facets to you. Thank you for allowing us to kind of dive in a tiny little bit into a few different aspects. Is there anything you'd like to let our amazing audience know that we probably didn't touch on today? I know we touched on the fact that you're an amazing husband and dad, and I think your son is with you. I think he is right. With wow.
Daddy daycare, and
well done with that. But is there anything else you'd like to share with us? And if so, or even if not, go ahead and tell everybody how we can get in contact with you, because I know you're on social media.
You can contact me on social media, Sean_Collinson_official. And I think that right now, under the climate that we're in, if anyone wants to be part of the solution for what is happening today between the civilians and law enforcement, you can email me at Sean, S-E-A-N, at progressoverpride.org. And if you have a solution, or you want to be part of the solution, or you can put us in contact with your local police chief to bring us in to talk about accountability, communication, and transparency under the protocol of sensitivity training that can save lives on both sides of the badge, I welcome that conversation. Don't hesitate to reach out. My email again is Sean, S-E-A-N, at progressoverpride.org. And I want to thank you in advance for even considering being part of the solution.
Wow. Thank you so much, Sean Collinson, author, mediator, speaker, CEO, founder, POP Protocol. I'm having a little tongue twist right there. POP Protocol, husband, dad, and for me, I'm an honored friend. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your talents, your thoughts with us today on Raquel's Thoughts. What's yours? Thank you, and do give your son a big hug for us.
I will do.
Listeners, again, you heard Sean's his contact. Please feel free to reach out to him. He's very, very personable. If you need his services as mediator, as any of, you know, the areas that we chatted about today, please reach out to him. Again, if you have a comment, do leave us a voice note. You can do that. You can leave us voice comments. That is, again, Raquel's Thoughts, But Yours. And we do have the drawing for his book. For that book, the book is called, that's right, 7 Keys to Love, and it's on Amazon. We want to give that away. Leave us a voice note. Tell us what you enjoyed most today about this interview with Sean Collinson, and say yes, I'd like to be in the drawing, and we put you in the drawing, and let's see who would be the winner of Sean's book. Sean, thank you so much again. I am honored. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have a great evening, and thank you.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, join us another time for Raquel's Thoughts, What's Yours. Talk to you beautiful people another time. Bye.